Blog Talk Radio.
About that this evening,
give me a hot second here. I was running a command, and I got to make sure that I run it correctly, or else I'm going to have an issue that I don't need to have. Hold on a second. Okay. All right, that should be the right one. Let me try that. Okay, hold on. Let me make sure I don't miss this. I'll come back to this. Okay. Let me send out a text real quick. Okay. Let me find if anybody called into that number. Video. Right there. All right. We're going to go ahead and proceed. We have enough quorum. All right, I make a motion that we go ahead and start this meeting. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Okay, this meeting is officially in session. We're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith and pray in and go ahead and get started. I believe that all scripture, let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Any men listening anywhere, uncover your heads. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20-21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26-29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep His commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let's give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you on today. And we lift you up and we magnify your name, O Yah Elohim. And we just want to invite you into this meeting, Father. Let you be our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you. All right. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Let me look into my email, Sister Mary, and look at this, the notes from last meeting. I didn't look at them yet. Been a busy day. Let's see. You did send them to me, didn't you? Yeah, I sent them right here.
I did. You don't see them?
Yeah, I got them. I'm just waiting for them to come up. The day was the day of the 23rd should have been the 16th. Okay. All right, I have them right here. Let's see. They're in the right place. Okay. You have your copy of these?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead and read from that one.
Okay. Our last meeting was March 16, 2023. We started at 7 p.m., and I think the meeting ended at 9:15. Attended at the meeting with Brother Miles, Sister Lorraine, Sister Mary, and Sister Claire. The discussion of the meetings first was the microgreens. Some of the microgreens developed fungus, and Brother Miles had to throw them away. So that made him not have any crops for the farmers market for that Friday. But the sales are increasing. Brother Miles gave a sample of the sunflowers to a vendor in hoping to become a customer. Development of the land. He talked about a trust. Okay. I'm reading shorthand, Brother Miles.
Huh?
I'm reading shorthand.
Okay.
Here we go. Huh?
I can hear you.
I know.
You can hear?
You can't hear me? Is it? I ain't hear. No. Saying something?
Yeah. Let's turn up her mic. Okay, I turned up her mic. Say something, Sister Mary.
Hello?
Can you hear her now, Sister Denise?
No.
Okay, go out and come back in. Because I'm hearing her fine. As we wait for her to come back in.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Do I have to start all over, Brother Mal?
Yes, ma'am.
Our last meeting was March 16, 2023. We started at 7 p.m. and it ended at 9:15 p.m. Attendance of the meeting was Brother Miles, Sister Lorraine, Sister Denise, Sister Mary, and Sister Cloud. We discussed the microgreens. Some of the crops had fungus on them, and Brother Miles had to throw them away. So he may not have crops for the farmer's market, which would have been last Friday. Brother Miles gave a sample of the sunflowers to a vendor, hoping that she would become a customer. Development of the land. We talked about trust. Irrevocable trust. The irrevocable trust cannot be changed, but the revocable trust can be changed. YFDC is looking towards the irrevocable trust, a set-in-stone trust. And I didn't put this part on there, Brother Miles. I just seen it. And we also discussed loans, a joint loan and a joint ownership. Post-signatures relationship loan. And then we have to discuss the bylaw section 11.16 at this meeting. That's all I got.
Okay. Any questions on those meetings, on those minutes?
No, I don't have any.
No questions.
Okay. Let me...
You guys are sweet.
You say good minutes.
So you guys are just sweet. I know y'all love me.
Who was that snickering?
It might have been all three of us.
All right. Okay, so I make a motion that we adopt the minutes as read. Do I have a second?
I second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 The ayes have it. The minutes are adopted as read. And let me, we didn't make any corrections, so let me make a couple of corrections in the original. It's not, these are just administrative corrections, misspelled words,
okay.
Sister Mary. So I'm just going to correct it. We won't have to redo it.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me save that. All right, let me give here some information. As she said on last week, the crop had a fungus in it. I harvested what I could and destroyed the rest. And I still had something to take to market. This fell out of everything that I took. But, you know, I still destroyed, like, probably 10 trays of crops. Then the growth for this week is going very well. We will have a lot to take to the market tomorrow, and we're just about all sold out before I even get there. So I won't know exactly what I have to take, you know, how much I have to take until I do the harvest. So when we get off tonight, then I know 4 full trays that I have to harvest them completely out because they're sold. And then the pre-orders, I have to, you know, I will probably get up about 4 a.m. and fulfill those orders. And then what I have left is what I'll take to the market. I've already started the crop for next week so that they'll be ready. I still have to plant some more because I don't think I'm going to have enough with what I've already done. And, you know, I'm finding that I'll know after I harvest tomorrow what I have left, if I have enough for, you know, to have some left for next week. If not, I will plant some more, but as the weeks go by, I will be increasing the production, because as I said, you know, more and more people are coming. Some of them won't do a subscription. They just, you know, want to pre-order, but they come regularly and they pick them up. So we'll, you know, we'll go wherever the customer wants to go with that for right now. The business that I dropped the samples off to, they did become a customer. And so they are ordering trays of microgreens, and that will probably increase in the future as well, as she is able to get her clients to buy. She will buy, you know, more. She's buying for her family and then plus for her clients. And so right now she is at like four trays of microgreens, and I, you know, and that's between $40 and $100 per tray, depends upon what it is. And so she will probably be going up from that. But I have to make sure that I harvest those because I don't, you know, I don't put those in plastic containers. They will go in bags, plastic bags. And so because it is the whole tray, and I actually kind of hand pull them, I don't just cut them in the tray because I can pull up, you know, I can get more weight. The less, you know, the less of the plant that I have to cut off, I can get more weight. So I usually just pull them, roots and all, and then just cut off the roots. So all the rest of that stem goes toward the weight. So that will increase, you know, I'm not sure out of some of these how much weight I'm going to get out of them. The goal will be to get her to 1 pound per tray or however many trays it's going to take for that crop to get to 1 pound, 16 ounces. So that is good. The previous customers, all of them, you know, are coming back. I just started a Yes to Run Farms newsletter that tells them what crop, you know, I'm going to have, at what farmer's market I'm going to be at, what crops I'm going to have there. If I have the orders that, you know, the pre-orders, if I have those, then it tells them, you know, that they are, they can pick them up there. And then we will be sharing any Yes to Run Farms microgreen news, like we are able to accept the SNAP and EBT now. And then any microgreen news, you know, general microgreen news, things, topics that I want to educate them on. Will be in this newsletter. So I sent that out for the first time today. It will be a weekly thing, and I will pick, you know, a day other than Thursday to do it. Probably we'll do it on Tuesday during the day or Tuesday at night, so that, you know, they stay informed and that they come and, you know, get their pre-order. Find that, you know, a customer has pre-ordered and I've grown and then they don't pick it up, I will email them. If they don't pick it up then from that point on, they have to prepay. They make a pre-order, then they're going to have to prepay ahead of time. And if they don't want to do that, then they can just do what they were doing before, and that's just get whatever I have left over. If I have what they want in whatever I have to sell in the leftovers, then fine. If I don't, you know, fine. The pre-order, just make sure that they have what it is that they want. Okay. So all that is going well. I'm going to have to go out and harvest those four trays tonight because that's going to take the longest. And then the other orders, I think it's about 15. 15 different microgreens, four to some customer, six to another, and then, you know, onesies and twosies that were pre-ordered. So I will get those done, and I'm sure that there's some people who will come tomorrow that buy things that I don't sell a lot of, like the pea shoots. People like them. But they usually get it in the wellness mix. So, you know, I have, I think, one or two customers that like just pea shoots. So I'll make sure that I have those because they'll come by looking. So all in all, you know, things are this crop this week. Let me do this. Should be able to see that picture.
No,
it should just be on your screen yeah, I don't have to share the screen for this. You should just be able to see it on your screen where you would normally see the writing at.
No, we just have the whiteboard.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird. I'm looking at it. You guys should be able to see it. Okay, let me do this.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, wow, look at that.
Okay, so hold on here. Let me turn this around. All right, so I'm going to bring up one, what they looked like 2 days ago.
Uh-huh.
Because 2 days ago, they were not looking that full like that. Just so you can see the difference in them. No, that's not it. Let's see. I'm going to linger on this long. I'm going to open up the date. Okay, it should be this one right here. One. Let me turn this around. Okay. So you see how these look right here? A little bit of green on the top of them, all white stems. Okay, and I wish I could, I should be able to blow this up. See those like that?
Too big.
Can't see those little bitty plants?
I see a blue fiber.
What about there?
Are you talking about the little white dots? That's the plant?
The little, I don't know about little white dots. They might look white on your screen. They should have a white stem on them. So you see down here where it says broccoli?
Yeah.
You can see it, Sister Lorraine, but... All right, Sister Denise, Sister Mary, take your bifocals off.
Take them off?
Yeah, take them off. It might be too big for you. See if I make it a little bit smaller. Okay, can you see that?
Yeah, I see it.
Okay. That was Sister Denise. What about you, Sister Mary?
Oh, that was me.
Oh, what about you, Sister Denise?
Yeah, I see it.
Okay. So this is how they look 3 days ago, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you see these pea shoots and stuff right here, how they just barely got a little green on the top?
Right.
Okay. So that's how they looked 3 days ago. This is how they look today.
Hmm.
And so the pea shoots now are filling in. They just had a little bit of green on the top of them in this picture right here 3 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
now they are starting to get more of the green, the pea shoot leaf on it. And let's see if I can find the one where they will look when they are
ready to be processed.
Yeah, I have a small tray that they're actually, it's about 2 days older than these. But maybe it's on this one. Maybe I can see it on this one. And they see how full these are? These are radishes on the top.
Okay.
Can't see anything?
No, we got quite a little.
Yeah, you can see that whiteboard, right? But you can't see this one.
No.
Interesting. Add a new whiteboard. And if I can right, are you able to see that?
No.
Wow. Why is it not showing for you? That's weird. Okay, hold on a minute. I'm going to sign into the room off of my laptop so I can see what you're seeing. You do?
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys see it?
Yeah.
So it must have must be just taking a minute to load then. Okay. So the radishes. And they're a lot fuller than the broccoli as far as size goes. So let me see if I can back off of this a little bit.
Oh, they are full.
And so the if I whatever I don't take tomorrow, whatever I don't harvest, if I have a tray left, I'm gonna not take it, so that I can make sure that the broccoli will come up this way as well, because they should get the same size. So. If you can see those, then you can see how just how full they are and how big the leaves are. Down here, you see this plant right here? Let me draw here. Plant in here. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can be heard.
That is...
Still the radish.
Your screen should have moved up.
It did not.
See if you can move it up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That plant right there is how those sweet peas will end up looking.
Mm-hmm.
So they just add a little bit of green on them, and then you start seeing a little bit more green filling in. This is like a bush. Mm-hmm. And so that's the way they will ultimately end up being. These plants in here are, those are cabbage. And they don't really get that much larger. I think I can get the leaves a little bit larger. But, you know, that's a healthy crop. And so all of these, back to the pointer. All of these right in here on this back row are red cabbage.
Uh-huh.
And so by tomorrow morning, after I feed them this evening, when I get at the harvest, the leaves should be larger. And what I'll do is turn off the light because the plants actually grow in the light, I mean in the dark.
Hmm.
The light, you know, they get light and they feed and stuff, but they really don't grow until nighttime.
Hmm.
So if I keep the light on them 24/7, they will grow, but they will grow, what, slower?
Right.
But if I put them in the dark for, so let's say, 4 hours, they will get bigger. And so out of all this, this is what I'm planning to harvest out of and take to the market. And the ones that are sold are let me find. And let me know when you're able to see that picture. Anything on your screen yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
So if you see these, and you can, but it's too small. Large on here. Like right in here on this leaf.
Uh-huh.
Those are the actual seed itself.
Uh-huh.
And so, and then if you look at right here, like just as an example, this leaf right here that I just put this circle around.
Yeah.
That's the way you want them. These, you see where, what, the second circle I just put on here?
Mm-hmm.
You see that little center part there that's coming up?
Yeah.
That's the second leaf. That is what you don't want, you know, at this size, it's not a problem, but 2 days from now, that leaf will be too large and it gets bitter. So these are ready to harvest now.
Okay.
And they will taste just like sunflowers. It'll take like the sunflower seed without salt.
Huh.
Okay, so. Hold on a second. Okay, so. This is like a full tray, and so the person has already bought all of these, and this will cost them, depends upon what I charge them, about $48 or $50 for this tray.
Mm-hmm.
Then the tray that's next to it, that is a half a tray that I have been harvesting out of. But all the rest of this in that tray is a little bit too old. And so what I will do is go ahead and just dehydrate these and turn them into the powder. So I think I have another picture of that. Let me know when that tray comes up, that picture comes up. With the speed of this, it sounds, seems like I'm going to need to reboot the server sometime here soon. It should be faster for you guys. All right, are you guys able to see the picture that's up now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so this tray I've been harvesting out of, and, you know, taking samples and stuff like that, so you see where the leaves are kind of browning out in certain places.
Mm-hmm.
So this one is a, and you see that second leaf on here how big that is. So I'll circle one so you can see it. If you look at that plant right there, and I'll zoom in on it some. Like a lot of these would still be good, but yeah, that's browning out there.
Wow.
So, and I'm, you know, I'm still trying to figure out why that happened to those. I think it may be the way I watered them. But you see this one I got circled? You see this, these flat leaves up under here, and then you see that those two leaves going like up and down, and these are going sideways.
Yeah.
Okay. These second two leaves right here, that's, those will be bitter. And so you can probably see it over here. Well, there's so many in there. If I can find another good example. But anyway, these right here will, these will actually be, I'll pick out the brown ones and dehydrate the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
And turn them into the powder. Because they will still, you know, I know that people are going to be asking for this powder more so than they will the greens once I make it, because it's going to, you know, it'll last longer.
Have you done any powder yet?
I have. And I have to, I got to do one more with the ones that I'm turning into the powder this time. It'll give me enough to have three bottles. I have to have three bottles. Yeah, I have to have three bottles for the USDA.
Okay.
I have to have that in what do you call it? In inventory at all times.
Oh, okay.
So that if I get an order, I can fulfill it, and so that's what they would be looking for. It's me to have those in at least three bottles in inventory. So, you know, I'm doing the inventory first, so I can just put it on the shelf.
Okay.
And I think I might have too much in this. Here. Yeah, let me do something here. Delete that. Delete that.
I think I saw these trays in Walmart, and I started to get them, but I didn't know exactly what to do with them.
Yeah, if you don't know what to do with them, don't get them yet.
Okay.
Because I probably got about, for what I'm growing now, I probably got about 90 trays.
Uh-huh.
It takes two trays to actually grow one crop. So one tray has to have holes in it, and the other one has to be solid.
Right.
And so that the one with the holes in it, the water drains through it into the solid one, so that, you know, you don't have water, the plant sitting in water.
Right.
Because they will rot out. The roots will rot. So that one's straight now. So these are also, these are starting to brown out too. It's a little bit bigger tray. And as you see, I don't use any dirt.
Right.
This is just a steel mesh.
Uh-huh.
And the roots grow down through it. But I will go ahead and harvest these and take the brown ones out and turn these into microgreen powder as well. So underneath here, let me get that one and we'll move on. I told you guys that I had done, had started with the wheatgrass.
Mm-hmm.
Still don't have it down to a science yet. But let me, Come on. Okay, can you guys see this picture?
That's it.
Oh.
All right, Sister Denise.
Yeah.
All right, let me know if you can see it now.
I see it now.
Okay. All right, so this is a wheatgrass.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see these trays, how in this left-hand tray, how only a little bit, how these were all planted at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got a lot of seeds over here that didn't germinate.
Right.
And in this middle tray, you got more seeds that germinated.
Mm-hmm.
And then the, you know, the tray over here is the same thing. It actually did more than this left tray, but it's still not fully germinated.
Right.
So still working on that and seeing if I can, you know, get this down to where I can get close to 100% germination. And this will get real thick. So this wheatgrass, people juice it and then, you know, just drink it. And it's real healthy for you, but I wasn't growing it, and I had, but I had quite a few people. Okay.
So the pink things, those are actually the seeds, then, right?
Right.
Okay.
So and these aren't supposed to sit in water. So, you know, you water them, and in the water, you know, you let them soak up some water, and then you drain the water off.
Uh-huh.
But somehow, either I didn't let them soak long enough, that's my thought, is I didn't let them soak long enough, or all the water ran toward the middle or something. I don't know what happened with them. Why didn't, you know, why I didn't get the germination that I needed to get.
Right.
So... I, you know, I can see little, what they call radicals, which is the first part of the root coming out of a lot of them.
Uh-huh.
But they just don't seem to want to take. And maybe I, you know, maybe I uncovered them too soon. Because, you know, but I don't think these were, from what they said, these didn't have to have weight on them to make them go down through this mesh. And most of them, from what the videos that I've seen that I've been training myself off of these, off of for these, they didn't put them under a weight.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to try something different with this next grow. I'm still trying to get these to grow. I'll take maybe the fullest tray to the market just to sell. But I don't think I will sell it, you know, sell anything out of it.
So when you cover it, Brother Miles, this like almost like a greenhouse or something?
No,
when you
dark.
Cover it, it puts them in the dark. As I said, most things grow in the dark.
Okay.
So when there's seeds like this, what happens is the water that's in the tray starts to evaporate, and it makes the inside of the tray kind of real humid.
Okay.
And the plants use that to water themselves to germinate. But in this case, as I said, I didn't get the germination rate that I thought I was going to get on these. And I got two trays that sort of look like this middle one.
Right.
And three trays that look like the one on the left. You know, barely got just a little bit of germination on them, like you see that little patch up there in the top left.
Right.
But, you know, the rest of the seeds they got, I don't know if I can, if this is true, if I zoom in on it. As it comes back. I didn't like that. Anyway, you can
see.
Do
you cover it, do you cover it with like a garbage bag or something?
No, with another dome, another tray.
Another tray, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So.
I want to try that.
Yeah, it'll probably be hard to find these springs. But what I did was I just went to Lowe's. On the small trays, I went to Lowe's and bought window screens,
right.
Like a roll for window screens. So this is kind of blurry. Small green things in there, if you can see that, or small white things.
Yeah.
Those are the little tails coming out of the seed that are trying to grow. But they should be at the same size or bigger as these right here up on the top left.
Okay.
For this tray, they should be that size, but they're just trying to get out. So anyway, I probably, that's my first try at these particular greens. The other ones, I have them down to a science. And I know, how much seeds I'm going to put in there. Like before, when I got the fungus, I tried to overseed. Like I've been using on those small trays, like 15 grams of seed, and I tried to go to like 20 or 25, and it was just too much.
Okay.
And they couldn't, the seeds that didn't germinate, because those seeds actually generate their own heat too, they actually started growing fungus. And so, I went, I fell back on the seeding, and the tray still. This is like 13 grams per tray on these right here. When I tried to go to like 20, then they just did not germinate as well. They didn't grow as well, and then they also had fungus in them. So you got to leave enough room for them to breathe.
Okay.
And. You can't see it on here. Let me get on this one. Let me zoom in here. I don't think you can see it, what I want you to see. But you can't see down in there really. I'm getting on this one. No, you can't see it. These actually are growing on like a window screen.
Okay.
So you guys see down in here, not there. See in there, you see like those little black dots? Or over here, you can see them better on this circle. See those dots in there? These white tubs have, holes in them, but the holes are too big for the seed.
Okay.
So if you just, if I'm growing this plant right here, this is a pea shoot.
Uh-huh.
And if you look at these seeds are pretty large. And so they can sit on top of here. Let's see here. Can't see the screen there. I was trying to show you guys the screen that they grow on top of. All right. So see this tray, how it's got all these little holes in it?
Right.
Okay. And over here, these things that look like rocks in this tray right here.
Yeah.
Right in there. Those are actual peas. And so they look like little pebbles, but they're big enough they won't fall through the tray, so I don't have to use the screen on them. So if you compare these two, if you look at that, it's just, you don't see any screen there, okay? You just see the white mesh. And in here, if you look at this one, those holes won't look clear. But anyway, we get off of this. I'll just take a picture of the screen so you guys can see them. It's just window screen, the screens that go over your windows, and I cut them to fit this inside these trays so the seeds don't fall through. That is how we're growing, and, you know, people are shocked that I don't use dirt. And so they're looking and asking a lot of questions. But what will end up happening is I will harvest everything but one of each of these trays. And those I will take to the market to put on the table so people can see, you know, what they are. And I'll put, I got to print off a sheet that says, you know, what the benefits like of red cabbages. I'll have a sheet like that in front of it. So when they come to look, they can just read the sheet. I'm trying to cut down on mine having to explain so much.
Right.
And they can just come and read it. So for each one, it'll have the sheet in front of it. They can, you know, oh, this is cabbage, and these are the health benefits of it. And, you know, just seeing them now, what I've noticed is when the people see the plant, then it makes them want to buy, even if they've never had them before. Because, you know, I explain to them what they do, and then they want to try them. And so I usually sell them, you know, 2 ounces, and 9 times out of 10, if they're not snowbirds, somebody just coming down to visit.
Mm-hmm.
If they live in the local area, then they come back the next week and they buy. So that's how that goes. If you're trying to do this for yourself, you probably would need like one of these green trays. All the, had the black ones.
No, they were green like yours.
Okay, then these green trays, and you would need a white one.
Okay.
To go inside of it, and then you would need to cut a screen to go on top of this white one, unless you were going to grow pea shoots. Something with a bigger seed.
Right.
Like pea shoots and sunflowers could grow just on that white part. But if you get broccoli or radish or fenugreek or any of the other seeds, they're too small, they'll fall through those holes. And so they would drown. Okay. So, and it only takes about 7 to 10 days. I found 14 days for some of them is optimal, where they get as big as you want them to get. But usually around 10 days, I try to harvest them, and the sunflowers look like it's going to be about 7 or 8 days.
Don't they grow that fast?
Yeah, they grow that fast, and you don't want that second leaf to come out.
Okay.
That second leaf comes out, as I said, the second leaf has some fibers on it that are bitter, and they're very bitter. Like I said, trying to make you not eat it, trying to protect itself. All right, so that is, you know, and I have, one here, let's see. And let me put this one up and we'll move on. All right, let me know when this comes up for you. Okay, let me spin it around. All right, so this is the way you start the trays, okay? feed them and you stack them, and then on top of them you have an empty tray with this brick on it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That tray, that empty, that brick is about 14 pounds. And when these get big enough to, you know, take them from under, they will actually push this brick up. And that lets me know that, you know, they're ready to come from under the weight.
Right.
And then I, you know, water them and put them in the dark for 2-3 days. And that gives them, lets them grow taller. If you put them right up under the light, what I find is they will get tall very slow. But if they're in the dark, you know, I can put them in the dark and come back the next day. They might start off 1 inch. I come back the next day, they're 3 inches. They'll grow that fast in the dark. But if I put them up under the light, they might be, the next day only be a half inch taller. So you want to make them stretch for the light. And then these right here, if I can, these are actually sprouts. Get over there. These are sprouts in a jar. Okay, and so that's broccoli over here, and then this is fenugreek. And these are about 10 days old. I should have harvested them at about 5 or 6 days. But I found out that they'll continue to get bigger. So if I don't sell them, I just bring them back and keep watering them. And it gets bigger, but they don't actually, since they're not in dirt, they can't actually really, you know, take root or anything like that. The sprout just gets bigger. And so when I package these up tomorrow, they will look nice and big for people, and they're still white. You can see there's green in there. But when they're about a week old, though, the leaves won't be turning green yet. They'll be kind of yellowish. But once you, you know, I take these out every day and water them, and I let the sun hit them for a minute, then they start greening out. They start creating chlorophyll and, you know, turning green. So this is a corner in the room that, like this back wall, I put boxes up there so the light won't come through. Because you don't want sprouts, you don't want sunlight to hit them directly. They need to be, and I really should be probably growing these even in a darker area. I have a darker area behind the grow room. And so if I put them there, they would probably grow faster because it's darker. And I think that's where I'm going to try the wheatgrass. I think I'm going to try it. I'm going to let them grow for a couple of days completely in the dark. Over behind the grow rooms, there's the darkest area in there, and see if I get a different result and get them taller and fuller, and then, you know, just work on the process to so that I can get them to look like the radish and the broccoli. And so then I know that I will make lots of money off of the wheatgrass because of how many people are buying wheatgrass before. And for whatever the reason, they can't find it in the valley anymore. And so I found the seeds online and I ordered them. I'm going to see what it used to go for. And because it's not available, I'm just going to jack the price up a little bit. Supply and demand.
Yeah.
If they can't get them anywhere else, then, you know, it'll cost a little bit more. But, yeah. That's just business. Okay. Now for, got a busy spell that quick. Let me go to my email. Now this is some good news, really good news. all right. You know, she must have been excited about this because she told me she probably wouldn't get me this email until tomorrow, but she said she's going to work on it. So I'm going to share my screen real quick. All right, and you should be able to see my screen.
Yeah.
Okay. I was talking to, there's a farmer out at the farmer's market. They are African, and they had a farm here locally. I think they said they had like 8 acres. And, you know, they bring a lot of good plants. I buy vegetables from them, like squash and, you know, bell peppers and things like that that I cook with. And so they were telling me that the grants were coming up, and had I been applying for any, I said, you know, I hadn't been applying for any because I didn't know which ones to apply for. And I had turned them on to the guy that does the atmospheric water generator.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, we've just been talking, and so they were going to hook me up with their contact at the NRCS. And he happened to be making a visit to them today. And so they called me, and her and I hooked up, and we had a conversation. And so I was telling her what I wanted to do. And she's like, wow, you want to do some advanced stuff. And, you know, the NCRS hasn't caught up with that stuff yet, but they got funds to do stuff like that. So she is supposed to send me the link for all the different funds that grants that we would want to be applying for right now, for doing the fencing, for the water, for housing, because they'll do all that. They'll do the, you know, they'll do the housing. I told her what I wanted to do with the geodesic domes, and then I will just, you know, it'll be the way I have to word it, because I think with the USDA, we wouldn't be able to do it as a group. I'd have to do it as a single farmer and then bring you guys in on it to get their grant. They won't grant to an organization. So I said, okay, I can still do that. But the housing and everything, I will see how I have to write the grant to say that, you know, it's going to be, like, we might have to start off with a, if I'm thinking of this right, we might have to start with a community kitchen, but we still do the geodesic domes with the shipping containers.
Uh-huh.
And I just say that it's, you know, it's for the family, and it's this many members in the family. I'll have to do it like that. For them to grant us to give us the grant, but then, you know, it, no matter how we get it, you guys will just be moving.
Right.
Okay.
So that you know, she's sending me that. Then they have, like, with the atmospheric water generator, she had told me what type of grant it is, but they'll go up to $1 million of grant. We don't have to pay that back. So with that, then, like, the atmospheric water generator that I was looking at was cost about $60,000.
Uh-huh.
But I know that he has something that costs close to $1 million. They generate a lot of water. And so I'll look. If it's grant money, then I may go for the larger one because we would be able to also – sell water. The one that's $1 million will support an entire city, a small city.
Okay.
So we'll be generating enough water. Then, because it's potable and it's drinkable right out of the machine, then even if we were just charging 10 cents a gallon or 25 cents a gallon, we're going to have excess water, so we would just sell it. And then if anything, you know, anything comes, you know, anything pops off, then we just stop selling it and we just have what, our own reserve.
Right.
So everything that we have talked about doing, when I talked to her, there is a grant for it. It's just knowing what that grant is and applying for it in time.
Mm-hmm.
And with the grant, we don't, you know, like with the atmospheric water generator, what they would want to do is study the water production and, you know, how we're doing with it so that they could document it.
Uh-huh.
And then they would say, okay, well, we can sell this to other, what, farmers?
Right.
Okay, or grant it for other farmers because this is what it will do. They will have, they're looking for the empirical data, data that they can use, you know, to say, you know, it's going to produce this much. This is how you do it, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
So, and I don't, you know, mind doing that if we can get it free.
Right.
So, she said, I want to follow up with you before I left the office today to begin our communications. I will follow up with more information on the programs tailored for microgreen farmers. So I told her that we were doing microgreens, but we can also do others because they have those, what do they call them, greenhouses.
Nice.
That they put in those tunnels. You ever seen those tunnels on, like, YouTube or TV, just like a half of a circle?
Mm-hmm.
And they have them that are about 300 feet long. So, and, you know, you can make them where they are heated and air and AC the whole nine yards. So they will actually pay for all that. Okay. So I will, you know, write up the business plan or modify the one that we have and, you know, ask for and ask for what we want to do. And if they don't come back with the whole thing, then we just, you know, tailor the business plan to work with the money that they grant us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she says, I also have down to research information on Farm Services Agency on rural development programs that would support purchasing property such as a farmhouse and other equipment loans, or programs to support the atmospheric water generator. Below is a link with the information about the Equity in Conservation Outreach Cooperative. The deadline is 27 April. The website is for the announcement of the funding, but the official publication is on grants.gov. There should be a link in the website. It is a pleasure to make your acquaintance. I will follow up soon after I do some investigating for you on those other opportunities. You have, if you have any questions in the meantime, please don't hesitate to reach out. My contact information below. So she's the Black Special Emphasis Program Manager.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, they have always treated black farmers kind of bad.
Mm-hmm.
And they are trying to correct that. And so that's why, you know, even when I first started getting into this, that was the signal they were sending out in the air. But then when you start dealing with some people, they still got, what, prejudices and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that, you know, we can get it, we got a, I knew she was black when I was talking to her, but she is the Black Special Program Manager. So she's going to make sure that we get the programs that we need as black farmers, and as, you know, and then I'm going to use my veteran status as well. And then we may even look at, because we're full of women, because women get better priority than men. You guys know that?
No.
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, you do. Then we may have each of you apply for something as a woman-owned business, so we'll take part of the farm and say that you're going to be the owner of it and apply for the money to do that.
Okay.
So there's all kind of different ways and different things that we can do. The white women typically have taken advantage of those programs. So it's supposed to be for minorities, but women are supposed to be minorities in business. At least that's the way they turned it around.
Right.
Okay, so the white women, you know, they would be getting the loans and stuff, the grants and stuff for their husband's business.
Right.
Okay, but there's no reason that we shouldn't take advantage of that.
True.
Okay, so as she provides me the information, of course, I will keep you all in the loop. We will find for these grants and then I will be asking the pertinent questions because the goal is to, I started looking at, I went to the VA and I looked at the SBA loan, Small Business Administration loan, and I put in there what I was trying to do with the glamping site through the VA, not the farm, but the glamping site, and I had some banks that email me back, only the banks that are interested in possibly funding what we're wanting to do are supposed to reply. So I got about two or three replies, and these banks already know that they have an interest. What I don't know is how much the money will cost and, you know, what terms we have to meet. But just looking at all avenues right now. So if we can get the glamping site, you know, financed, and then we can get the farm granted, then it's just less money that we have to spend
right.
with the grant. And if we take out a loan to do the glamping site, we wouldn't have to take out anywhere near what we were talking about. So we want to, you know, start with the 7/10 and then make that profitable, and then we can, from there, we could actually, what, just put more on there as we need it out of the profit. But if we took out a loan, because what I wanted to do, if we did a loan, then I wanted to do enough for 7/10 and plus our own housing on the other land. But if I can get the USDA or NCRS or anybody else to give us a grant for it, because we don't have to pay that back, then that's the way we'll go. Okay. Any questions?
No, all in time. Good.
Okay. Sister Denise?
Me too.
Okay.
Me too.
Sister Lorraine?
Nope. No questions.
Okay. So that's where we are at. I had been to the NCRS site, but again, like I said, if you don't know exactly what the grant is called or the loan is called for what you're trying to do, it's almost like it don't exist. And she knows what all these are called, and she knows how to look them up. So that's what she's going to get for us. The one for the Farm Services, the FSA, and the Rural Development Programs, they are the ones that would do like the atmospheric water generator and the housing. If I wasn't trying to do domes, then we could actually, I think it would probably only build one family house on there. But if I can do the domes and get them to go for that, then we'll do enough domes for us, and then we'll, you know, do what we need to do to make it profitable. And as we get new members, then we will bring them in. I'm trying to think of how we will continue to get the grants. But if we can't get the grants, we have to pay ourselves, then we need to be saving money as well to add the other housing. But as much as I can, and as much as I am able to, I know when I was reading last night for the grants, they won't fund an organization. It has to be like a family-owned farm. And so that's the way we'll do it. But I will say, you know, I need this much house. And they're going to say, what, for what? For workers, whatever. However they want to hear it.
Right.
But that's what I'll do to add the other housing. Or, you know, she had heard of geodesic domes, and she said she had just been to a farm that had some on it.
Mm-hmm.
So she was familiar with it. but we may have to go through the same program. So I think I'll probably do two or three versions of a business plan. And one will be for everything, and, you know, like the $1 million atmospheric water generator, because they will go that high for that. Or if they, you know, or I may break it down and say, no, I need this type of housing, plus the fencing and the atmospheric water generator, but we're only going to go with the one that's for $60,000 or $300,000, whatever, so that we can. I'm going to try to get all $1 million. They'll do a grant up to $1 million. I'm going to try to get up to $1 million.
Oh, that's right.
So I'll write two or three business plans with everything spelled out. So I may be asking for your guys' help in certain areas. And we will, you know, see what we need to do. But as you said, I'll look and see what this one is that she sent me for that says the cutoff date, the deadline is the 27th of April. That's like a month away, so we need to, what, get busy on it?
Right.
And we want to make sure that we submit for it. Because they are giving, as far as I know, if you are a black farmer or you're a woman-owned farm, then they are, you know, you're going to get, they got money to give away, and they want to give it away. Because if you ever work for the government, whatever you don't use, you what?
Lose.
You lose. They don't want to lose any part of their budget. So if you're applying and you're applying the right way, from what, you know, even a farmer that I was dealing with told me, you know, they're trying to give the money away, okay? So if we can justify $1 million, then that's what I want to do. Yeah. Anyway, that's the good news. So we may have to, for the next month, until we can get these grants written, we may hold up on the policies that we've been working on.
Okay.
And just work on getting these grants done and submit it.
Okay. So we're going to hold off on the bylaws, and we're going to work on the business plan.
Yeah, the bylaws we have done, the policy is what we've been working on.
Okay.
So this actually is going to take priority because we got a deadline to meet. And so I want to make sure that we find out exactly what needs to be submitted, how it needs to be written, that we double-check and triple-check, you know, our work, and make sure that we are ready to submit and that we submit not on time but a little bit early, so that we know that it's in there on time. And then when she gives us the link for, you know, the other grants, that we focus on those because, you know, electricity, the solar, there's grants for that. The water, there's grants for that. Housing. And then, as I told her, you know, the business will be for microgreens. And then I think that a black farmer was telling me, I think her name is Gallon. I'm going to keep calling her a black farmer. I think her last name is Gallon. But they were telling me that, you know, if we grew like bell peppers, that the or tomatoes, the restaurants will pay for those ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that a crate of tomatoes is going for $40,000. However, he was explaining this to me, if it's going for $40,000. Then what they will do is they will prepay us like $10,000, and when we deliver half the crop, they'll give us another $20,000, and then when we deliver the last of the crop, they'll fill out, you know, finish paying the last $10,000.
Okay.
Okay, so So definitely want to look into that, whether it's tomatoes or bell peppers. We will have them to, we're going to go for the grant to put up the tunnels that are heated and what have you. And so we can continue the microgreen business, and, but we can also try to develop a rapport with the restaurants like Pizza Hut and those type those people, because they're looking for fresh vegetables. And so, you know, go and talk to them and say, okay, we can deliver in this area. This is what we have. I have, you know, looked at and watched many, many videos on growing tomatoes and things like that. And remember I told you guys, like the compost tea and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we will, you know, prepare the dirt and do all that kind of stuff inside of the greenhouse. I don't want to try to grow tomatoes, even though we could grow them hydroponically. But as many as we would be talking about growing, I would rather just grow them in the dirt.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, that would be what we do to, you know, to raise the money, to make the, you know, the farm itself profitable.
Right.
And we would have, you know, jobs that we could offer people coming. So trying to do the glamping and that's the goal. But we want to make sure that we apply for these grants and get them in on time. And I really want to find a grant reviewer, somebody that's familiar with grants. So that if we, you know, if we left out something, or if we could have said something a different way, you know, it's going to make them look at it more favorably.
Right.
That, you know, every chance and every opportunity we want to give ourselves to be successful. So this is right on time. I still don't know what my brother-in-law is going to do. If he comes through, fine. If he doesn't, you know, I've already told him that, you know, I got to keep pushing. So if he does come through, then, you know, I'll just put that toward the glamping. If he doesn't, then, you know, we're pursuing this avenue anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so any questions on any of that stuff?
I don't have any. No.
Okay. That's all that I have. That's all that I have for the update.
That was very good news.
Yes.
See here. So I want to make a motion that we table the policies for right now.
I second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Okay. So we're going to start looking at this site for this particular grant. And just start, what are we at, 6:32 my time. So we got about 30 minutes left. We'll just start in this. And I'm thinking, because this really needs to be a priority, so even the Tuesday night, the spiritual wellness and the Tuesday night newcomers class, I may cancel them for a while. Because we need to make sure that we get this done.
Yeah.
Okay. Priority has changed, and I want to make sure that we get this done. So let's see what she said in here. Below is a link for the information for the equity and conservation outreach cooperative. The deadline is 27 April. The website is for the announcement of the funding, but official publication is on grants.gov. There should be a link in the website. So I guess this is what we're looking for, I guess. No, this guy sent me an email, and I don't want to go with him. Okay, that's what I was looking at before. All right, so we just have to start reading on the site. Is this large enough for you guys to see?
Yeah. I will.
Okay. So it says the USDA is investing up to $70 million in cooperative agreements to support outreach to underserved producers and communities about opportunities with NRCS for natural resource conservation, climate-smart agriculture, and forestry. Notice of funding opportunity on grants.gov. For information on how to submit a proposal for this year's Equity in Conservation Outreach Cooperative Agreement, read the notice of funding opportunity on grants.gov. So let's go here. Okay, so we'll read the rest of this overview first, and we'll go there. USDA is investing up to $70 million in cooperative agreements to support outreach to underserved producers and communities about opportunities with NCRS for natural resource conservation, climate smart agriculture, and forestry. The fiscal year 2023 Equity and Conservation Cooperative Agreement will expand outreach for the delivery of conservation assistance to underserved producers and communities. And as underserved producers would be us, and provide opportunities for students to pursue careers in agriculture, natural resources, and related sciences. Agreements are available for up to 3-year projects that extend outreach to farmers who are beginning limited resource.
You're reading?
Huh?
Yeah, because we're not.
See what you're reading?
Yeah, I thought I shared the screen, or you guys, I did, and then I changed it. Okay, hold
on. Because we still have the NRCS follow-up still on our screen.
The email?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to stop sharing and start sharing again. I think because I only had okay. All right. See if you can bring up screen sharing, and you should still see like
got more.
Yeah, it's there now.
Okay. The overview.
Yeah.
Okay. So USDA is investing up to $70 million in cooperative agreements to support outreach to underserved producers and communities about opportunities with NCRS for natural resource conservation, climate smart agriculture, and forestry. The fiscal year 2023 Equity and Conservation Outreach Cooperative Agreement will expand outreach for the delivery of conservation assistance to underserved producers and communities and provide opportunities for students to pursue careers in agriculture, natural resources, and related sciences. Agreements are available for up to 3-year projects that extend outreach to farmers who are beginning a limited resource, social disadvantage, and veterans. So So anything, any advantage that I think we can get, I'm trying to use it. I know that, you know, for veterans, and then we are, what, limited resource. We're beginning, and we're socially disadvantaged. We meet all those.
Right.
The purpose of 2023 Equity is Conservation Outreach Operative Agreement is to leverage NRC develop locally led conservation projects that help overcome barriers and offer opportunities for underserved producers and communities to learn about and access NRCS programs, services, and careers. Through this notice of funding opportunity, eligible applicants may propose a project that engages underserved farmers and ranchers in their communities and offer opportunities for these producers and communities through outreach activities. For more information, read the news release announcing this funding opportunity or read the full notice of funding opportunity on grants.gov. Okay. So they got live webinars. Looks like they have all happened between the 7th and the 16th of this month.
Mm-hmm.
So they got pre-recorded webinars. We'll come back and look at these. So let's go to full notice on funding grant opportunities at grant.gov. Okay, so let me make this larger. And I've already been on grants.gov. You got to have an account on here to look at the grant. And so I have an account for us, and I've been on the site looking at grants just to know what to apply for. Okay, so synopsis, grant notice, version synopsis 15, USDA, NCRS, NQ, whatever, funding opportunity title, FY 2023, equity and conservation outreach, cooperative agreement, last post date was 27 December, last updated 27 December, discretionary opportunity category, discretionary. Original closing date for application 27 April. Applicants must submit their applications by 11:59 Eastern Time on 4/27 in an email sent to this right here. Cooperative agreement. Current closing date 27 April. Category of funding activity: agriculture, environment, natural resources. Expected award number is 250. Estimated total program funding, 70 million. CFDA number, I don't know what that number is, conservative outreach, education, and technical assistance. Award ceiling is $1 million. Award floor, so the minimum is, what, $100,000? And the ceiling is $1 million. Cost sharing or matching. Now, this is what I love right here. We don't have to match funds. Because in some of these grants, if they're getting, let's say they were given $50,000, they might need, they might say you need to have $25,000 of your own.
Okay.
Okay, but this says grant cost sharing or matching requirement. There's none. Okay, so that's a good thing. Eligible applicant. Native American tribal governments, federally recognized nonprofits having a 501c3 status with the IRS, other than institutes of higher learning, nonprofits that do not have a 501c3 status with the IRS, other than institutes of higher learning. So we're going to fall probably right here because I haven't submitted for the 501c3 status with the IRS yet, Farm. Other CTEC field, additional eligibility, Native American tribal organizations, additional eligible entities, Native American tribal governments, state-recognized Native American tribal organizations, district, private, nonprofit institutes of higher learning. Additional information. Natural Resources Conservation Service. The primary goal of this outreach opportunity is for the NRCS, National Resource Conservation Service, in collaborating with partners to expand conservation assistance to historically underserved producers and underserved communities and to provide opportunities for students to pursue careers in agriculture, natural resources, and related sciences. In this notice of funding opportunity, NRCS requests proposal addressing priority areas listed under program description in the NFO, NFO is notice of funding. Section 8. Projects to support outreach activities that encourage diverse and inclusive participation in NRCS programs and introduce conservation planning and climate smart practices to protect farmland ecosystems, watersheds, and wildlife habitats in geographical areas of underserved communities ranging from rural agriculture to urban and small acreage producers. This NFO is being released prior to appropriation and apportionment of funds for fiscal year 3, enactment of the additional continuing resolution or appropriations act may affect the availability or level of funding for this program. The NRCS Outreach and Partnership Division provides leadership to ensure that access to all programs and services is fair and equitable, with attention given to reaching historically underserved producers and underserved communities. This is a non-competitive NFO restricted to the eligible applicants listed in C1. NRCS has determined that non-competitive awards under this NFO are in the best interest of the government and necessary to accomplish the goals of the program to provide outreach and technical assistance to historically underserved producers and underserved communities. Applicant must submit their application by 11:59 on 4/27/23 to this email address. For inquiries about NFO requirements, contact Federal Awarding Agency, C-Section G of this NFO. Please limit questions to clarifying specific information contained in this NFO, such as date, page numbers, discrepancies, etc. Questions related to eligibility or the merits of a specific proposal will not be addressed. A minimum of 3 webinars will be available for potential applicants. Webinar information will be posted to the following website. So we want to do those webinars, the related documents, grant or contact information. If you have difficulty accessing the full announcement electronically, please contact this person. If you have any questions related to preparing the application, contact. Okay, so let's go back up. We're just going to go through this, and then we'll comb through it next meeting, which may be Tuesday or Saturday evening. We'll start going through it in depth. Let's see where we first link that up here. Let's go through the version history and then we'll come back to the links in the document. All right, so synopsis 12, 13, 14, and 15. I think they just said they just changed, corrected the closing date in the synopsis description, added a hyperlink to the email, updated the email hyperlink in the description, corrected hyperlink and email hyperlink in the description, updating closing date, corrected estimated total program funding. So we've already read all that in here. So we don't have to go over those synopsis, related documents. So I'm just going to open these one at a time. And okay, this is a zip file. It's going to download. So I want to download it to don't want to put it in meeting minutes. I'm going to put it in grant. So I'd already downloaded this document because I thought we might be interested in this. But I hadn't had a chance to go through it. I think it was only 2 pages anyway. Save. And this is a PDF. So we're going to open it and save it into that grants folder. And what I will do is I'll make separate folders for each grant that we're going for, so that they're, you know, they're separated. So this is the PDF. This is conservative outreach. Okay. We'll just save that in there. It's in the same folder. Template for the application. Okay. And I'm going to change this name to the has already got an application template in here for another, a different one.
Uh-huh.
So this is for equity and conservation outreach. I'm just going to name it that. Revision 2, that's going in there. Okay, let me look in this zip file. Looks like the same stuff was in that zip file that was in those separate files.
Yeah.
So you download it one time, or you can download all the documents together.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't unpack that. We'll just go into this folder. And that's over here. So I want to make a new folder. Anything related to this, I'm going to move into this folder. Okay, so that should be all right. Can you see that on your screen?
Yes. USDA.
And is white in there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least got the people with some froze in there. There we are.
There we are.
Okay. Notice of funding summary information. Federal awarding agency, U.S. Department of Agriculture, Natural Resources Services, title, USDA number, assistance listing. The program is listed on SAM.gov under 10.938. The system for award management is an official U.S. government web-based application that collects, validates, stores, and disseminates business information about the federal government's trading partners, support contract awards, grants, and electronic payment. Summary, the primary goal of the outreach opportunity is for NCRS to collaborate with partners to expand conservation assistance to historically underserved producers and underserved communities and to provide opportunities for students to pursue careers in agricultural, natural resources, and related sciences. In this notice of funding opportunity, NCRS proposal addressing priority areas listed under program description in this NFO C Section A. Program project should support outreach activities that encourage diverse and inclusive participation in NRCS programs and introduce conservation planning and climate smart practices to protect farmland ecosystems, watersheds, and wildlife habitat in geographic areas of underserved communities, ranging from rural agriculture to urban and small acreage producers. So this looks like this is an education type of grant.
Uh-huh.
That's what it sounds like to me, at least. This NFO is being released prior to appropriation and opportunities of funding for fiscal year 2023, enactment of the additional continuing resolution or an appropriate act that affect the availability or level of funding for this program. The NRCS Outreach and Partnership Division provides leadership to ensure that access to all programs and services is fair and equitable, with attention given to reaching historically underserved producers and underserved communities. This is a non-competitive NFO restricted to the eligible applicants listed in Section C1, and NRCS has determined that non-competitive awards under this NFO are to the best interest of the government and necessary to accomplish the goals of the program to provide outreach and technical assistance to historically underserved producers and underserved communities. I'm thinking that, well, I'll continue to read, but my first thought is that they would want you to be knowledgeable of one of these areas and be educating people on it, of color. That's what I'm thinking. Which I'm not opposed to doing, as long as we can get paid out of it as well. Huh. Applicants must submit their application by 11:59. Email sent to this. For inquiries about NFO requirements, contact the Federal Award Agency, Section G of this NFO. Please limit questions to clarifying specific information contained in this NFO, such as date, page numbers, references, et cetera. Questions related to eligibility or the merits of a specific proposal will not be addressed. A minimum of 3 webinars will be available for potential applicants. Webinar information will be posted to the following website. So we got a tax identification number already. Obtain a unique identification number. I think I already have that as well. You don't have to have one if we're applying as an individual. But if we're applying as an entity, then we have to have that number.
Uh-huh.
Also, with the IRS, with the tax identification number, mm-hmm. if we're applying as an individual, you don't have to have that either. But I have those for, like, Yesterman Farm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And I believe I have the UEI also for Yesterman Farm. SAM.gov. Okay. Submit proposals for equity and conservation outreach cooperative 227, between 227 and 427. Applicants notified selection on 5:30. So a month later, applicant notified of non-selection on 5:30. Federal funding floor and ceiling amount. The estimated funding floor for the opportunity is $100,000, and the estimated funding ceiling is $1 million. The funding floor is the minimum agreement funding amount for the federal share for each award agreement. The ceiling is the maximum amount for agreement funding for the federal share for each awarded agreement. These numbers refer to the total agreement amount, not specific budget period. So they might, if you get $1 million, they might split it up into, what, 3 years?
Okay.
Proposal checklist. NRCS expects the applicant to read the entire NFO prior to submitting their proposal to ensure that they understand the program's requirements. The following proposal checklist provides that required and optional documents to complete a proposal package. Additional packages are required to include the following. Project proposal application template. Ensure that all required information listed in this template is included and does not exceed 15 pages of written text, excluding the budget details and narratives. Tables must be limited to the budget section. Ensure that the project excludes unallowable costs and activities according to the funding restrictions noted in Section D. Applicants must submit. What I'm going to do is also email you guys this whole thing as well, so that you can also be reading it for yourself. Applicants must submit the project proposal applicant template as a PDF or as a Microsoft Word document. Handwritten proposals will not be accepted. Application for federal assistance signed by the digital signature and electronic encrypted stamp of authentication of digital information or ink signature. Budget information, non-construction programs. Assurances, non-construction programs for individual entity type only. grant.gov, lobbying form, also called the certification of lobbying form, negotiation indirect cost rate agreement. Okay, none of those things, which I know what they are or what they require, so we got a lot of what, catching up to do?
Mm-hmm.
The funding available through this NFO is federal finance assistance. Grants 101 training is highly recommended for additional education on federal finance assistance. The training is free and available to the public. We need to hit that. I said we needed to do this before, but we never did do it. It consists of 5 modules covering each of the following topics: laws, regulations, and guidance, financial assistance mechanisms, uniform guidance, administrative requirements, cost principles, and risk management and single audit. FPAC agencies, all these acronyms, also apply federal financial assistance regulations to certain non-assistance awards. In essence, non-assistance cooperative agreements. So how many pages this is? Only 19, 20 what, pages?
Uh-huh.
That's not that much. But it's a lot of learning. Okay, let's see what this is about. Program description, legislative authority. The authorizing statutes and regulations for the opportunity are the Soil Conservation and Domestic Allotment Act, Conservation Technical Assistance Program, 16 U.S.C. 590 A through F and 590 Q. So we'll have to look that up. About the agency, NRCS serves as the lead USDA agency for natural resource issues on private lands. The agency works at the local level to provide technical and science-based assistance to individual farmers and ranchers in the 50 states and the U.S. territory, Virgin Islands, and Pacific Basin. The information provided through the following link of the program administered by NRCS, as well as the technical process used by NRCS to identify natural resource concerns and the conservation practices used to treat those concerns. So we'll come back to these. Let's just read through this. Program purposes and priorities. The purpose of the Equity in Conservation Outreach Conservation Agreement is to leverage NRCS and partner resources by developing community-led conservation projects so that historically underserved producers and underserved communities will be able to access NRCS programs and services and learn of potential career opportunities in agriculture, natural resources, and related science. Through this NFO, eligible applicants may propose projects that engage historically underserved producer communities equitably and offer access to opportunities through the outreach activities that promote NRCS programs through education and demonstration of conservation practices, develop community conservation partnerships that encourage historically underserved producers to plan and protect farmland ecosystems, watersheds, and wildlife habitat in geographical areas of underserved communities, inform small-scale or urban agriculture producers about the participation in the conservation programs, and support education on planning for an adoption of conservation practices that are climate smart. Applicants are encouraged to showcase the local environmental and economic value of adopting conservation measures through various methods such as training and demonstration. Eligible applicants should consider outreach that is mutually beneficial to both the community and NRCS, such as partnerships that incorporate local needs and prioritize conservation investments. Such outreach should increase awareness of the NRCS program services and career opportunities in agriculture and natural resources conservation within historically underserved producers and underserved communities. Looks like they're looking for employees in a sly way.
Nice.
The priority area that NCRS will consider for this NFO are addressing local natural resource issues. Outreach activities should support an understanding of the NCRS planning process and program implementation and provide opportunities for historically underserved producers to meet their conservation needs. So it's telling us right there, A, should support understanding the NCRC planning process and program implementation, promote potential conservation career opportunities, outreach to promote career opportunities in conservation by recruiting students from underserved communities or who attend minority-serving institutions, including historically black colleges and universities, 1862 tribal colleges and universities, 1890 and 94 colleges and universities, Hispanic-serving institutes, Asian American, Pacific Island, serving institutions, introduce the principles and benefits of natural resource conservation through education and build an understanding of careers in agriculture, natural resource conservation, and related employment that builds the future of sustainable farming by preparing a diverse next generation of producers and conservationists. Promoting the adoption of climate smart conservation, outreach to assist historically underserved producers, and understanding the support available through NRCS financial and technical assistance programs to help producers mitigate the impacts of extreme weather events through climate smart conservation practices. Encouraging conservation in small scale and urban agriculture, outreach to promote partnership with improved NCRC ability to connect with historically underserved producers and underserved communities on small acreage and increase their participation in NCRC conservation programs that meet the community needs for sustainable food production. Developing conservation leadership skills and opportunities, outreach to inform historically underserved producers and underserved communities of leadership programs that will develop community leaders able to help NRCS with identifying local natural resource issues and community conservation properties, a priority, as well as advance NRCS ability to incorporate underserved community priorities into its implementation of NRCS conservation programs. Definition or vegetative measure or management technique commonly used to meet specific needs for planning and implementing conservation. The specific standards and specifications developed for conservation practice are contained in the appropriate NRCS Field Office Technical Guide, which is based upon the National Handbook of Conservation Practice. Let's see something real quick. So we're really looking for educators and for you to build an organization that's going to educate our community on conservation practice. That's really what they're looking for. And depending upon how much help they're willing to give in education, the educator in me would not be opposed to doing this, depending upon how much time they will be requiring. So, introduction to the field office technical guide, PowerPoint. Talking about. And I think that's why they're not asking for matching funds. Because the way I'm getting this as it's coming to me right now, they're looking for people who will specialize in educating their own community about conservation. Which means that depending upon what they say, this could be something that is good or something that is overwhelming. You know, there's not a lot, you know, but you would be doing more than just your, you know, more than just black farmers.
You'll be educating the community?
Yeah, you'll be educating whatever, you know, communities are in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what is it, what it contains, how to access it, how to navigate in it, look at some items of TSP or use. It is NRCS Primary Technical Reference for Conservation Planning and Application. So this is their conservation guide to, I guess, depending upon what type of land you have, what, you know, threats you might be, like if it rains hard, what type of vegetation you need to grow to that's going to hold the land.
Right.
That type of stuff.
And what kind of wildlife is on the land.
Right. And, you know, preserving their habitat and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it just depends. And it depends upon if they already have a curriculum. If they already have the curriculum, then I could do this easy, because you just use the curriculum of what, to teach yourself.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and I'm sure that you don't have to find the client. They, you know, whoever needs to be taught, they'll be given a link to you or whatever, and say, or you'll be told you need to go see these people or whatever. Give these type of seminars, just like the people want me to teach about the microgreens.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, from my days in teaching in the community colleges and stuff like that, that would, you know, that kind of just comes natural for me. I could do it. It just, you know, depends upon, you know, how it's going to benefit us.
Right.
You know, if it's going to allow me to be able to do this and get paid for the services, you know, well enough and still leave me time to do the microgreens, then it may be something I look at. If it's going to pay above and beyond that, I might tell, you know, the farmer's market, hey, I'll see you in a little bit. We'll be back. Just depends. Right now I'm about making the money. Okay. Contains information about soil, water, air, plant, and animal resources, plus human considerations. WAPA plus 8. So I guess that's the acronym for soil, water, air, plant, and animal resources.
Mm-hmm.
Plus 8 for human.
Mm-hmm.
Localized to each county, although many items are applicable statewide. General resources. Reference, natural resource information, resource management systems and equity, conservation practices, standard design, conservation effects. It is on a website called Electronic FOTG. Use Internet Explorer, Netscape won't work. Okay, so page not found. That's not. I guess it's right there. Okay. So it's telling you how to navigate it. Let me go back. Page 6, use Internet Explorer. That tape won't work. So it has to be the Edge browser because Internet Explorer doesn't exist anymore. Let's just see if we can get this to come up. No, page not found. So we'd have to go back and ask them, how do we access this? Okay, welcome to the EFOTG Technical Guides or Primary Scientific Reference NRCS, they obtain technical information about the conservation of soil, water, air, related plant and animal resources. Technical guides used in each field offices are localized so that they apply specifically to the geographical area, for which they are prepared. These documents are referred to as field office technical guides. Appropriate parts of the field office technical guides are automated as databases, computer programs, and other electronic-based materials, such as those included in this web-based pages. Okay. That's just showing you how to access the site and use it. All right, EFOTG information is arranged in folders and subfolders, many categories. Subfolders are necessary to keep a huge array of information organized properly. When scrolling to, in the tree menu, use the elevator bar, not the arrows. It doesn't work to click with the pointer between document titles. Okay. So that's just how to navigate that site. I'm going to try one more thing. Internet Explorer app. This is supposed to be outdated. But there's stuff, you know, the government's always behind. So let's see if... this site will come up in... whole browser, continue. That still takes you to Edge. But Edge has an Internet Explorer mode. Yeah, no matter what we're going in, this page is just not found. So I would probably have to contact their tech support or something to see what could be done. So really, this, as I'm seeing this, and what this is, it's 7:18. So we're going to stop here for now. I will email you guys this document, just a free read over, because we're going to have to go through it. And today is Thursday, so next time we'll meet is Saturday night, Spiritual Wellness. And, you know, working through this document just to see if we want to do it. As I said, if they already have the curriculums and, you know, I just have to read through this stuff, make some, make an outline, you know, make my own notes as to what to talk to. I mean, it for me, this seems like it would be something fun. Because it's kind of technical and then it's kind of... scientific. So it seems like it would be something that's fun to do. I would like to know a lot of this information myself anyway, because we more than likely we would have to do something like this on the land.
Right.
You know, to some degree, whether we're planting shrubs or planting some type of grass or putting in some type of irrigation or, you know, water system that is going to drain the water off the land, you know, something. We would need this information anyway, and so to me, it's to our benefit. It's to our benefit to know this. So it wouldn't, you know, it's not, you know, and if I can educate people while doing it, then... and we can get paid for it if I can make a, say, like a salary out of it or whatever. then I'll do that. Then I could probably set up classes when I wanted to give them. And so, like I say, you know, we do classes, I don't know, Monday and Thursday or something like that. And not, you know, and still be able to work around what we're doing. It just depends. I have to see, you know, what all is here and what all it would take. But we'll talk about it because if we could create another little company out of it and each one of us get a salary out of it as providing a different part of the service, then that would be a way to also we have to look and see how it messes with Social Security. For those of us who are drawing Social Security?
It wouldn't mess with mine. I'm too old.
Okay. I need to get older then. But don't mess with mine.
Me too.
So we will look at this because if, I mean, even if I have to put my Social Security on hold, I don't know what all you have to do. I know you have to report the income to the Social Security Administration. If it's over a certain amount.
Right, and I think they just adjusted Social Security. They don't totally take it.
Okay. Then we will look at that, because then we may be able to establish a little small company and provide this service. And at the same time, it's a reason and a way to get you guys moved here.
Right.
And we can support, you know, financially that way.
Right.
So, and that, you know, that's my motivation for everything, okay?
Right.
It really is my motivation to get you guys here. And then we do what we have to do, you know, and this is a, Christina, it's like a 3-year program.
Right.
So, if we, you know, if we can curriculum-wise and, you know, building-wise, if I said, okay, we're going to work out of Northern Arizona and, you know, we're going to have an office in St. John's or something like that or Sholo, then that would put us near the land and then we can just work on getting the, what, the domiciles on the land?
Yeah.
And then this would just be for 3 years. That'll be the income. And then by that time, hopefully we can train somebody else to do this portion or we train somebody else to do what other portion. And we keep, you know, keep it moving forward. So let's just see what this is all about. Huh?
I say I'm excited.
All right, amen. We'll just see what this is about. Like I said, you know, teaching and doing syllabus and all that kind of stuff just comes natural for me. And so if they have the course curriculum already, that's what I wouldn't want to develop. If it's already developed or they have somebody else has already got to be doing this at some time or another. So if we can go to them, you know, and we tell the government, hey, we need to buy this curriculum as part of the grant. I'm thinking that, you know, part of the grant money would be able to go for that if we included that in it.
Okay.
And then once we have the curriculum, then, you know, I just have to see if there's any type of certifications that are required. Because, you know, just like for IT, I used to always have to be, you know, get certified in certain areas. So, you know, you study and you take the test. You get certified and you know, and you just keep it moving forward. But we will meet, let's say, Saturday night, instead of spiritual wellness, we will do this. So that we can try to see if we want to do this, if it's a program that we want to apply for. And then, you know, if it is, then I need to see what we can as an organization, who and what we can legally hire,
right,
and what we can legally pay, and we assume those positions.
Right.
All right. So let me stop sharing. And let's see, who's still in the house? All right, so I make a motion that we meet on Saturday evening. Do I have a second?
I second.
I second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. We will, you know, I'm going to read over this. Let me send this document out so that you guys have it and at your own, why was the document removed? Or did I move it? I might have moved it. Okay, hold on a minute. Okay, I'll find the document. I'm going to email you guys a copy of it. And then, you know, at your own, you know, your own convenience, just read through it just so that we can be familiar. And then we'll go through it together. Let's see, where did I put this? Where did I think I put it? Let me do that now. All right, so check your email.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, so you should have that document. Just read over it. You know, not don't try to remember everything, but, you know, just so that we can be familiar.
Right.
And then maybe we can get a better idea. But I think it's, you know, offering a – setting up something to offer a resource to train underserved communities in conservation. So I think it'll be a matter of teaching ourselves conservation. But, you know, if we start a company, then we're going to need, I mean, I could do the training, be the main trainer. Then we're going to need, you know, administrator, you know, people helping to keep up with the paperwork and that kind of stuff. So we can control, you know, have control over who we train and, you know, what they did and that kind of stuff. And then if, you know, we decide to do it, then if they have a curriculum, then it's just a matter of, you know, getting the students in there and, you know, training them about the different things and becoming familiar with the land in the area. Because I think that's what it has to be specific to, that area. So certain things that said are would be apply statewide, and certain things are apply to the county, wherever they're at. If they're in a mountainous area, it's going to be different than in their in the desert, or if they're in a, you know, somewhere else.
Right.
So you have to become familiar with the terrain.
Right.
So, and that's not a, I mean, that's not a problem. I mean, it's easy enough to do. And it's something that we need to know ourselves. And that's really why it kind of turns me on to do it. Because not just, you know, if I had to train somebody on how to type, I mean, I wouldn't be interested at all. Because it's just not what I want to do. But, you know, this has a component to it that is going to be useful, you know, where we're at and where we're trying to go. So think about it. Sister Denise, did you get it?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Sister Lorraine, did you get it?
I did.
Okay. All right. So I make a motion that we adjourn this meeting.
I second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. We will meet again on Saturday evening, and we will we need to read enough so that we can even decide whether we want to do this, okay? Because if we don't want to do it, then it don't make sense putting a whole lot of time into it. If we do want to do it, then we need to come up with a business plan, and depending upon what the market would be as far as number of people and the education programs, and then NCRS is going to want to monitor it.
Right.
So testing systems and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I have, you know, if I have to see just what they have available. As I say, if I was going to go teach the Microsoft certifications, then as an instructor, they have an instructor's manual.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then you got the same manual for the student, but it don't have the answers in it and the explanation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if they already have, you know, a course for this and an instructor's manual for it with the answers to the questions and, you know, the reasoning why that answer, the correct answer is correct and the other answers are incorrect,
mm-hmm.
then I can use that to train myself or train with everybody else.
Yeah.
And we can just, you know, but we'll look, everybody doesn't need to be a trainer, because if we make a company out of it so that we can get the income from it, that's what I'm looking at it for. I'm looking to educate people, but I'm also looking at how we can use it to, you know, fund our getting onto the land fast. That's the goal of everything in my mind right now. Let's do what it takes. And then if it's not something we want to do, then we'll wait for her to give me the other link that she's supposed to send me.
Mm-hmm.
And we will look at, you know, we still got to learn how to do the grant.
Right.
And so that grant 101, we need to just, you know, be doing it anyway so that we have understanding of how to do it, because, you know, these things one person cannot do.
Right.
Everybody's got a life and got other things to do, so, you know, one person couldn't do this. So we all have to take, you know, responsibility for something.
Right.
And then get it done. So we'll talk about all that. But if we want to do this, then, you know, I want to push full steam ahead in it, and, you know, I'll still be doing the microgreens, but my priority once I, you know, take care of the microgreens will be this.
Okay.
Every day will be this. And if we decide to go this route, then I would want to do the business plan and get all to submit it to them in time so that we have a, you know, at least a fair chance of getting it if we decide to do it.
Yeah.
And as I said, if we can get the recommended income, and we don't, you know, not trying to get rich off of it, but enough to where, you know, we could pay for stuff, then that's what we want to do. And then we will, you know, do that and then, you know, move to the next phase. So while we're doing this, educating people, then we still be trying to get the grant to for the water and for the fencing and for the housing and that kind of stuff.
Right.
And, you know, and what I see in my mind right now as my mind is ticking, if we get the grant, or, yeah, if we get the grant for this, if we go for it, then I would say I would set up an office like in St. John's, which is close to the land.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the rural area. So, you know, depending upon where they say we got to go, then if it's any traveling that needs to be done, then I would do it. But, you know, you guys would settle somewhere in that area, an apartment or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would, you know, just set up a, you know, rent a little space, set up an office, and people would come there. We could do the training there, or if it needed to be traveled, then I'd travel. I'll do the traveling. Just so we can make sure that we got the income coming in, we're doing what they're asking us to do.
Right.
Okay. And, at the same time, then we will be trying to get the, you know, the glamping site up, and because that's up, then we really could turn our focus toward that, and maybe not so much in if this is a 3-year or 1-year or 2-year contract, whatever it is, not do it on a continuous basis. Or we hire what is supposed to be to educate young people and get them into these types of careers.
Right, yeah.
Then we would have to be advertising for, you know, young kids like that. There are people who, you know, young kids that want to grow stuff and that kind of stuff, but our people don't seem to want to do a whole lot. That's just been my experience.
Wow.
So, we'll see. So we'll come back together on Saturday. We will read this and make sure that we are understanding the requirements right. And then we will want to get access to that site so that we can see that manual, the EFTO manual, whatever that was,
mm-hmm.
And see, you know, what's in there. I want to, you know, what I want to do is do a search and see if there is a curriculum for land conservation.
Uh-huh.
I think it's what this is all about. And so if there's a curriculum, then we will just, if it's not free, then we will just put it in the budget for whatever the cost.
Right.
And ask for it as part of the grant. Once we have that curriculum, I wouldn't have a problem developing the course and, you know, even putting it online. I already have a website for that. I just don't have the time to work it, but that would become priority. That would become the work. And even if I just, okay, we're going to have to hire a web developer. We need money for a web development, and it costs this much. Then that's, you know, that's what I would do is, farm it out to some developer I know what we need, and say, okay, I need you to do this, but I need you to do it by this date.
Right.
And you get paid on a sliding scale. You get so much up front, and you get so much when you're this much finished, and you get the rest when you deliver the full product. And plus, you got to support it, for a year after that. So, we could find a company in India that would do that. I would rather give it to a black-owned company here in the States. That would be the preference. Anyway, Sister Denise, will you pray us out?
Yes. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this acknowledgement. Thank you, Father, for Brother Miles, Sister Mary, and Sister Lorraine. And Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Amen. All right. So we'll meet Saturday evening. And also remember, we got Passover and things coming up, so there's going to be days that we can't do anything.
Right.
And we need to be mindful of that. Help keep me straight. I will try to put the non-work days on the calendar.
Yes.
But just make sure that, help me to stay straight with it as well.
Okay.
And I get caught up and then I won't remember to check it and whatever. All right. May the Most High bless you. May He keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep His commandments. Beloved, have a blessed evening.
You are
awesome. Well.
All right. Shalom.
Shalom.
Words what can I do?